So the Mishnah says, Kiddushei Nashim, if you decide to be Mekadesh and Isha with a shtar, it's one of the three options, Kesef, shtar, and Biya. So you write a document saying, Hareat Mekudesh Esli, and the husband gives it to the wife, and she is halakhically engaged to him. So a Kiddushin shtar can be written. V'git, you're allowed to write a divorce decree, a get. V'shovrin, and you are permitted to write a shover. A shover is a receipt. So that if the loan was an oral loan, not a loan accompanying a document, or there was a document, but it was lost. So normally, the simple way for either the malve or the love to collect the loan is to produce the document. The way that the love has proof that he paid the loan is he takes the document back from the malve, from the lender. Now he's safe. Nobody can produce this document against him. However, if the document has been lost, if he lost the document, so then what he does, he asks for Beis Din to write a receipt for that the loan has been paid, and then he's covered. So that's a shovrin. Daitiki. Daitiki, according to Rashi, is shtar tzava'a, a document which describes how a father who is about to die is planning to distribute his assets. So that document may be written on Cholosh HaMoed. Matana, a shtar matana. If you plan on giving somebody a gift, and you want the person who is the recipient says, you know what, I'd like to have some proof that you really plan on giving it to me, and not be an Indian giver who makes a promise and doesn't fulfill it. So you write a document to award this item from the Nosein to the Mikabel. So that's that can be written Cholosh HaMoed. Upruzbulu, a pruzbul. Pruzbul is a document that enables somebody to collect a loan despite the fact that Shemitah has lapsed. And normally when Shemitah passes, all loans are canceled. This enables you to collect the loan despite the fact that Shemitah has passed. Igros Shum, the Igros Mazon. Igros are letters of Shum, evaluation. Let's assume somebody designates a piece of property to pay off an obligation of his. So under those circumstances, you have to determine how much the property is worth. So Beis Din has an appraisal committee, and they write up how much they think this property is worth. So that, once again, can be written on Cholosh HaMoed. An Igros Mazon is somebody who marries someone who already had been married and has a daughter from that first marriage. Now her husband died or was divorced. She remarries, so the current husband has no legal obligation to provide support for this young girl. He has no; it's not his daughter, so he doesn't have to provide mizonos. However, the wife says, "I'm going to get married to you only if you go ahead and obligate yourself to do so." So in order to maintain the agreement and that he shouldn't back out, we write a document of the mazon, the food that is being awarded to her. Shtore chalitza, a shtar that is written to somebody who gave chalitza, who was the recipient of chalitza. So it enables her to remarry. Somebody's husband passed away without having any children. She is not allowed to marry anyone but the miyabein, her brother-in-law. If the miyabein wants to release her, he has to grant her chalitza. So when you have chalitza, she wants some proof that I was the recipient of chalitza. So Beis Din writes her a document that you were in receipt of chalitza, and now harei at muteres lechol adam. You are permitted to marry everybody. I must say, I have never seen, I actually witnessed a chalitza once, and it is one of the most difficult things for people to come to grips with, especially if you're not necessarily observant. And that was that particular case. She wanted to remarry, and her rabbi was not going to remarry her to the person who she wanted to get married to unless she got chalitza. It is such a degrading ceremony, which is its intention, for her to spit at the miyabein. He pulls off the shoe. It's just hard to, at least if you're traditional and observant. So you say, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to do, despite the fact that it's unpleasant and not terribly ethically pleasing, aesthetically pleasing. But if you're not frum, you look at us like the most weird people these people have to be to go through such a process. But anyhow, that's a shtar chalitza. Umi unin. Mi'un is the following halacha. You have somebody, a young girl, mita oraisa, a daughter may be married off by her father when between the ages of 3 and 12, and the kedushin is valid mita oraisa. Mita oraisa. If she wants to terminate the relationship, she needs a get. However, the Rabbanan said that the mother or her brother can marry you off as well. However, however, at age 12, she has a right to say, I'm not interested in this man that my mother or brother married for me. And she simply says, Ani mina enet, I refuse to stay with this guy. She walks out, doesn't even need a get.
At any age?
Oh, at age 12. Once she decides to forego that opportunity, then the marriage is converted into a kedushin midoraisa. So, in order to prove, to have proof for her, Beis Din would write a shtar, a document, that she echoed and voiced her objection to this potential, to this man who her mother or brother married her off to, and then when she has the piece of paper, she can go ahead and get married.
So technically, if she's married off at age 5, so from 5 to 12 to 7 years, she's got to endure.
Yes.
There's no...
No way to break it up beforehand. Right. Ushtore Beirurin. There is, we'll talk about other interpretations, but the simple pshat according to Rashi is, if two people are quarreling about an estate, two brothers, how to divide the estate. So they come to Beis Din, and Beis Din helps them. You get this one, you get that one, and then they write a document, a shtar, livarer, to be mivarer, who gets each chelek. So that's Shtorei Beirurin. And Zeros Beis Din. If Beis Din makes a decree, and they want to popularize their decree, so they write a document indicating, and they send that letter all across the world. The Igros Shel Rishus. And Igros Shel Rishus. Rashi says, again, there's many interpretations. The Igros Shel Rishus, says Rashi, we look at it, Sivui v'kiyum shel shulton. Somebody tries to enamor themselves in the eyes of the government. So when the government made a statement, you go over to the shulton and say, you know what? I'm going to popularize whatever you just said. I'm going to make sure everybody follows it. And they wants to write such a thing. So Beis Din or whoever it is, or the Sofer, is allowed to write such a document on Chol HaShomoed. Yeah. So now, those are the technicalities. We'll see some of the alternate opinions in a minute. Let us understand what might be the basis of allowing any of these activities in the first place. If there is an isur of writing on Chol Hashem Moed, why did they allow this rather lengthy list of items that can be written on Chol Hashem Moed? So Tosvos says, right here, Ve'elu Tosvim D'Moed, Nira, it appears to me, the Chol Hani Hevedavar Ha'avud, that all of these cases have one common reason why I allow it. It's a davar ha'avod. If it was not written, then the person who was looking for this document could possibly suffer a loss, financial or otherwise, by not having the document. Why is it a davar ha'avod? Pen yomus hanosein o ha'edim, O Bezdin, O Yel Cholim Dinas Hayam. Whoever is in the position to make this decision, either it's Bezdin or somebody is looking to divorce his wife and then he dies, and let's assume she didn't have any children, she'd have to undergo Chalitza. If you have a divorce, you don't need Chalitza. You were divorced before your husband died. So it's or you are ready to have witnesses write a document of splitting up the estate, and then the witnesses die. So then it's not easy to find additional. Or yelchulim dina sayam, they'll travel across the city. So the underlying principle, according to Tosfos, in every one of these cases is davar ha'aved. It's a little difficult to see how it's davar ha'aved in some of these cases.
Is it monetary loss or that the opportunity is lost?
Just either monetary or the opportunity. That if you wanted to get divorced, you're not going to be able to get divorced now. That's all. Or maybe the husband is going to check out. He's going to go limdina sayam. And I'm not going to be able to find him for the next 28 years. So this is, I understand, davar ha'aved. It's okay. That's what Tosfos says, and he makes no distinction between any of the cases in the Mishnah. However, not everybody agrees with Tosfos. So if you take our sheet, which is page number one, number two, not numbered, but they're page number one, number two. So, I saved a tree across the street by not photostatting the first two words of the previous Rambam, where the Rambam says that on Chol Hashem Moed, Danim Dine Mamonos, V'dine Makos, V'dine Nefashos B'Moed. Bezdin is permitted to engage in session to handle monetary cases, cases where you are obligated to get makos. So if somebody ate treif or something like that, you can bring them to Bezdin and Bezdin can administer makos. V'dine nefashos b'moe. And if there is a case that would require capital punishment, those cases are permitted as well on Chol Hashem Moed. Umi shelo kibel olav hadin, and somebody who did not accept the authority of a Bezdin, mishamtin oso b'moe. They put him into cherem. Says the Rambam, Ukeshem shedonin b'moed, kach kosvin ma'asei bezdin v'chol hadomelo. What is the heter of writing these things on Chol Hashem Moed? The fact that you're allowed to execute these items. If you were not permitted to execute these items, if Bezdin would not be in session, there would be no reason to allow anybody to write it. But since you are permitted to engage in these dinim, therefore, by extension, they said, we're going to be matir writing up the events that took place in Bezdin. Ketzad, Kaisvin hadayanin igroshum shishamu l'balchov. They write the evaluations which they wrote on behalf of a balchov. The igroshum machru lahem l'mazon ha'isha v'habanaz. Ushtare chalitza umeyunin, the chol hadomelahem midvarim shetzrichem hadayanim lekosvam, kidei sheyizkerum. anything that might be associated with Beis Din in order so that they not forget what had transpired. That's why you're allowed to write it. Kigon ta'anos balei dvarim, balei dinin, if the two litigants make statements in court, so the court stenographer is allowed to write what they said. That's one thing we have in Beis Din. Or dvarim shekiblu alein, kigon ish ploni ne'emon alai, or ish ploni yodun li, if I would like to have a statement, oh, you know what, I want this particular dayan to what? To judge for me. So, or mi shetzarich alulvot b'moed v'lo ha'aminu hamal v'ba'al peh harezer kosev shtar chov v'chein kosve gitten v'kidushin nashim v'shovas shekol elu kitzorchei rabim heim. The heter, according to the Rambam, has nothing to do with Dover Ha'aved, but it's rather tzorchei rabim. Tzorchei rabim, communal needs we are often makel with. There are several halachos, particularly if it's only a din derabbanan, such as Amira Lenachri on Shabbos, where makel for tzorchei rabbin. So if you believe that the Iser Malacha on Chol HaShemoed is only midrabbanan, it's a little easier to understand why we allow tzorchei rabbin. If you believe that it's an Iser D'oraisa, then it's a little more difficult, but as we explained at the beginning when we started Moed Katan, even if it's a Doraisa, it's Masru L'Chachamim, how to define the parameters of the Issa D'oraisa. It's not that there's a Pasuk in the Chumash that writes that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaShemoed, but assuming it's included under the word Shabbaton, of all, or Mikra Kodesh, of a Yom Tov, which applies all 7 days, so, but the Rabbanan have been given the luxury of defining what constitutes a Malacha. So if they feel Tzorchei Rabim are important, under those circumstances, you are permitted to engage in this.
So, on the first one, the Shtar Kedushin, he has alternatives. I mean, it's not as if that's just one of the ways to
correct, but he doesn't have any money.
So it's specifically if he doesn't have.
That's what some Rishonim are going to point out. If he has an alternative method, but then most are going to say once there is any legitimate need, they will matter this under all circumstances. They will just matter. The need is the pressing reason why they allowed it. But once they allowed it, they said under all circumstances it would be acceptable. It would be acceptable. And the difference would be as to if something is out based on a Dover Ha'aved like Tosfos, and if you take a look here at the Ravid, he screams at the Rambam right away and he says, you know what you're talking about? V'chein kosin gittin esh nishin shemes amar Avram Loki. It's not because of the reason that the Rambam gave. Ela k'dover ha'aved hein. All of these are Dover Ha'aved. The difference is that Dover Ha'aved, once it is permissible even al yedei uman. Even a scribe is allowed to write it. According to the Rambam, who holds it's just a broad category of Tzorchei Rabim, the halacha is only ma'aseh hedyot is permissible. But the Rabbim does not allow a professional scribe to write it. So that's the one difference.
He says that somewhere else?
What? He says that elsewhere, yeah.
But aren't the two inextricably intertwined, the notion of Tzorchei Rabbim and all of these of Dover Ha'aved? For instance, the woman whose husband may change his mind, I don't want to give a get, or all of these other situations that are time sensitive, time is of the essence, kind of. So you're doing it for the rabbin. It's not just one person. Many women may need a get, or different. Many people may need a principal.
I know, but we're going to see, I believe, in the Mukhi Yosef, I have it in the packet, who raised the question, you can't say that writing a get is Tzorchei Rabbim. How many people need a get on Chol HaShemoed?
It could be many.
No, but Tzorchei Rabbim normally means something that impacts the public as a whole. That's Tzorchei Rabbim. 20 people doesn't make something Tzorchei Rabbim. And especially about something like this, you know, you don't normally, except Chol Hamoed Pesach, when it's Zman Cheruseinu, then you have a lot of women who are looking for gittin. husbands who are looking for gittin. But other than that, it's a little difficult. And the Ravid's, actually, you know, that's one of the reasons why he's against it. Because this doesn't, some of these are difficult to see how they reach the bar of Tzorchei Rabbit. How many kids are dividing up their father's estate on Chol Hashomoed?
It may not be that granular. It may be that all of these things, many have to do with Beis Din.
Correct.
And it's for a community to function.
That is
in
correct.
Manner,
that's correct. Even though technically a get doesn't need Beis Din. A kedushin certainly doesn't require. There is our tradition today is not to issue a get unless you have a Beis Din. That's a takana of Yehuda. But technically, you have two witnesses. You write the get and you give it in front of two witnesses. That's all you need. You don't need a Beis Din. But anyhow, that's what they
say. How about Tzorchei Mitzvah? Does he include that as Tzorchei Rabbin?
Tzorchei Mitzvah, again, not always. Not always do we consider Tzorchei Rabbin, Tzorchei Mitzvah necessarily Tzorchei. Because Tzorchei Mitzvah can be for you. You know, for your own personal things.
He writes the next line. You didn't read it.
That's the next
Mishnah
that we're
going to
do.
That's okay.
That's
Tzorchei Mitzvah.
It's Tzorchei Mitzvah.
And he
that's
says
correct.
No.
No, that's correct. And that's even more of a Sefer Torah could be defined as Tzorchei Rabbin. So we'll see. When that Mishnah, some say if they don't have any other Sefer Torah, or it has to be repaired, you're allowed to, we'll talk about it. Yeah. If you now go to the Mechaber on page 2 for a minute, you see the Magen Avraham. Says the Mechaber, Mutter lichtov cheshbonosav v'lachshov yitziyosav. You are permitted to write your expenses or things that you're about to spend, any calculations for that, you're allowed to write that. And then, Mutter lichtov shtarei kedushin, shtarei psikta, gitten, v'shovim, daitagim, anam b'rizman, and so on and so forth. Shtarei chalitza, me'unin, shtarei beirudim, psakadin. Fine. V'igrosh shalom, she'ela shalom, she'adam sholeach ha'chaveiro, v'afilu al devar prakmatya, She'ena avuda, even though it's some type of business dealing that is not going to lead to a financial loss, you are allowed to write it anyway. So the Mechaber certainly, by writing that line, agrees with the Rambam that the source has nothing to do per se with davar ha'avud. Mutabarav. Yeah. So now, if you just go to the next page, which is the Magen Avraham. So firstly, the Magen Avraham comments about Shtorei Beirurin. So the way Rashi defined Beirurin was that Berer is going to, Beis Din is going to be Mevarer, who gets this Chelek and who gets that Chelek. Says the Magen Avraham, named the Prima Gadim, Beirurin, Shekosvin, Zeh Borer Lo Echad, V'Zeh Borer Lo Echad. That's the halach of Zabla. If two people cannot agree on a particular Beis Din to go to, so the way you resolve it is each person selects one dayan, and then the two dayanim now agree on who the third dayan is going to be. That's called zabla, zeh borer lo echad. So the Magen Avraham says that what beirurin is, it's not necessarily dividing up an estate, but rather it's the fact that a case is going to be resolved and adjudicated by the Bezdin of Bureira, of Zeh Borer Lo Lachat.
You got to write a shtar to do that?
What?
You got to write a shtar to Zabla?
Yeah, because everybody wants to know for a fact that nobody's changing their minds. That you committed to establishing this business, just as proof to the pudding. It doesn't have any validity, but it's just proof. O shtare ta'anasa. Or if they write a document with their what? With their ta'anot. With their arguments. I have to present the case in court. And I know that I'm not going to be able to present myself very well unless I have my thoughts written out. So there is a famous machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim. The pasuk says in Parshas Shoftim on two occasions, "Al pi shnayim edim yakum davar," or "Al pi shnayim edim yumas hames." So the Gemara darshins mi pihem velo mi piksavam. You are not permitted to send an affidavit into court. You have to come and testify orally. And all testimony, according to most Rishonim, is not accepted unless you testify orally. The Rabbeinu Tam says, no. The drash is only to eliminate somebody who cannot talk. But if you can talk, then you're allowed to write down your testimony as well. As long as you make an appearance in Beis Din, and Beis Din can challenge you and be choker the edus, if you write a document stating your testimony, it is okay. So right here, the Magen Avraham, he obviously is accepting the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, because he said this person is writing shtore ta'anata. The ta'anot are the arguments that he's going to present, and you're allowed to use them in Beis Din. V'tam ha-heter kol elu mipnei shehin tzorchei rabim la-ha'amid ha-mishpat. Just like the Rambam said, tzorchei rabim. Va'af al-pi she-bechol pam hu le-ish miyuchad. Even though every one of these cases are not really rabim, they're incidental cases, one at a time, and how many of these are you going to have on Chol Shemot in the first case? Mikol Makom, Kevon Shemizdameng Tadir, since these types of cases come about regularly during the course of the year, Mikrei Tzorchei Rabin. V'im Kein Efshar, Delo Shari, as we just said, Elamasa Hedyot, Kevon She'eno L'Tzorech HaMoed, because there's no need for these on Chol HaShemoed. If we're going to allow you, it is only if it's Maisa Hedyot. Right. Aber HaToisvis v'Habes Yosef kasvu d'davar avidu pen yomus hanosein o habesden o edim v'lachein afilu masei uman shori. Under those circumstances, even a masei uman happens to be acceptable.
So Beis Yosef changed his mind then, because in the
that's correct. That's what it looks like.
So we pass him like Rabbeinu Tam in that machlokes that you just.
I have to check in Shulchan Aruch who we pass him like in the other machlokes. Now, if you take a look at the Mishnah Brura on page 4, Mishnah Brura says, Mutar Lichtov. Hatam b'chol zeh, yesh omrim, mishum b'chol davar hamizdamein tamdir, afal pi shechol pam v'pam, hu davar prati, since it happens frequently, even though on each individual case that comes to Bezin, it has no impact on everybody, just one or two people, nonetheless, kitzor chei rabim chashiva. V'efshar demikri tzore chamoeh, might even mean defined as Tzorech HaMoed. Hoel Shidavar Zeh Tzrichen Lohen B'Moed. Because this guy needs something on Chol HaShemoed. He needs the divorce. He needs the Chalitza. She needs the Chalitza. So therefore it's Tzaruch HaMoed. We
you
don't
can do anything you want.
Exactly. It's a very difficult statement to make. Normally, Tzaruch HaMoed means it's promoting some element of the festivity of Yom Tov, the opportunity to eat and, you know, have a nice house. But to use all of these things as Tzaruch HaMoed, because I need it personally, then it's Tzaruch HaMoed, very difficult read. Yeah?
But if you're talking about Tzaruch HaMoed going back at the other things like clipping your nails. That if you can do Tzaruch HaMoed, you want to look balabatish, you don't want to look.
100%.
So this is
that, but that we understand why. Because looking nice on Chol HaShomoed is a kiyum. That's the way to look at Chol HaShomoed.
We're talking about biting your nails and doing it kilacha. Yeah,
right.
So
okay.
If you
so
do it Tzaruch HaMoed, do it the right way.
So that's what you and me would say. For some reason, they didn't want to allow it. I don't know why. But I could have made a case for it. Yes, I could have made a case that cutting your nails is Tzaruch HaMoed, and therefore it should be permissible without any restrictions whatsoever. Could have been, yeah.
But it's the Knas, you should do it before Yom Tov.
Correct. Correct.
Otherwise, it would be.
It would be. Yeah.
The assumption here that these things could not have been done before Yom Tov
doesn't say anything of the sort.
So even if it could have been,
it does. It, the way it's phrased in Shulchan Aruch, I remember it is that it's even if it could ubilvad shelo yiskaven kach. I could have done it erev Yom Tov, and I said, you know what? I got plenty of time. Not working Chol HaShomoed. I'll do it. Then it's usher. But if it happens b'mikra, even though you could have done it before, it is still mutter.
This is not an exhaustive list. This is anything that fulfills those criteria.
Yes, that is correct.
For these people, completing these things definitely enhances their Simchas Yom Tov.
There's no doubt. But then you can make a case that anything is that I like to do is Simchas Yom Tov.
No, this is a combination of affecting a halachic, you know, outcome in terms of, you know, becoming, I'm now able to marry someone else, and now, you know, the estate is planned. And, I mean, these halachic events that are settled. That the Beis Din is
okay. Not saying no. Yes. Then on page 5, the Magen Avraham says something which opens a lot of discussion. Says the Magen Avraham, Safek Davar Ha'aved Mutter. That in order to allow something on Chol HaShomoed, it does not necessarily mean that there has to be a definitive loss in order to allow an Chol HaShomoed. Even if there is a potential loss, it also is permissible. So what would you say about that without looking anyplace else? What would be your first gut reaction about what might this depend on?
The rights of Rabbah.
Correct. That it might be dependent, and that's what the Bir Halacha is going to say on the next page. Very good. That it should be dependent upon whether the Issa Malacha is a Doraisa. So then, Safek, you go to Chumra. If the Issa Malacha is only Midrabanan, then you go to Kula. So if you take a look at page 6, the Bir Halacha, commenting on this Magen Avraham says, Ayin b'Magen Avraham, the Safek Gavar Ha'aved Gamkein Mutter. The Ayin B'Prima Gadim, Matis HaShekel, the Lich Ora, Din Ze Tolui, Im Meleches Chol HaMoed, B'Dover She'eno Avud, Osum Menatot, O Midrabanan. If it's Asr Midoraisa, I should say that Dover Safik is Asr. If it's Asr Midrabanan, then you say Safik is Mutter. For Ayin Benun Aleph, I'm not sure who he's talking about. Shahochiach Das Abes Yosef, the summon Besim and Tavkuf Lotes, the Lahachmir Besafik Dover Ha'aved. That the Beis Yosef's opinion was that we should go to Chumrah if there is any Safik and not vadai davar ha'avod. Vahainu afilu leman de islay de ikor isur melechas cholamoed hu midrabanan. Even if you hold that meleches davar ha'avod, that meleches cholamoed is only midrabanan, I still should be machmir if it's a safek. The Hashaharei Abes Yosef Kosav Shem Zeladas Harosh, the Harosh who Mikat Hasovrim Bereish Marit Katan, the who Midrabanan. Fine. Now, what the Bir Alach is going to say is that the Mishnah that we just learned tonight is proof positive that Safek Davar HaAved is Mutter. And he can't understand why whoever this person claims that the Beis Yosef would say it's Asur. Why is how does our Mishnah prove that Safek Davar HaAved is Mutter?
They're all Safek.
What?
Everything's a Safek.
Why?
Because you don't know if it's going to be Aved or not. Uh-huh. You're assuming the person's...
No. Well, what's the...
You may make the sense that maybe it's going to be Aved, but everything is Safek, right? It may not be Aved.
So, but tell me why definitively the cases in this Mishnah are davar safek davar ha'avod?
Because we don't know what they are.
No. We know.
We don't know what the reason is of our Mishnah.
No. Why did Rashi said? Why or Taisva said? Why is it that we allow these activities?
Maybe the Edom will die.
Because, no, that maybe the Edom are going to die. The Edom right now are not dead. They're right here. The husband didn't travel to Medina Sayyam. He's standing right here. So on the off
chance
that he might die or might decide suddenly to board a plane and to leave the country, you're going to allow this right now with him standing right in front of your nose. So as we undertake any one of these activities, evaluating, making a commitment about the mezonos for the daughter, any one of these. Nobody's dead. Nobody's running away. They're both standing right in front of us in court. However, we are going to allow it just in case there's a remote possibility that they check out, says the Bir Halacha. Let's read it inside. So therefore, he doesn't understand how anybody could say, at least in these cases, and probably in all cases, that Safek Davar Ha'aved is Asur. Says Amnam, fourth line, L'cha'ora yesh stira l'chol zeh. There is an open contradiction to those who claim that you cannot engage in Safek Davar Ha'aved. B'mishneh daf yudches amadeis ve'elu kosvin ve'kosvu sham ha'taisviz nira the chol hani have a davar ha'aved. Pen yomus hanosein, o ha'edim, o bezdin, o yel chulim dinas hayam. The chain bechidushay ritva nami kahagavna al kol ha'mishneh. Haray, apparently, the mikilinon misveika. We certainly are going to be makil, even if there is what? An element of doubt. So our Mishnah, says the Bir Halacha, it's a very good point, happens to rule that every suffix is mutter, and it's a little difficult to understand why it should be asur. Why it should be asur.
So that would be why the Rambam says it's not davar avod?
No. That's an interesting suggestion.
There's just no proof from there. If you hold
there's
it.
No proof. That's all. It may be that the Rambam didn't want to get into that and say, you know, maybe if it's davar avod, and maybe Suffolk would be asur. Correct. No proof from the Mishnah. Therefore, I attach it to some other address, and then there is no proof. Then we can ask the question whether or not davar avod b'suffolk is mutar on chol shemoed or not.
But this is pretty much saying milsa de lo shticha. We're asking on maybe if things that aren't common.
What is that?
Isn't this sort of like asking on milsa de lo shticha?
No, these are not lo shticha. These things happen frequently.
That
he might go to Medina Sayyam.
This one might
die. Yeah.
The entire Bezda might die.
Okay, yeah. It's true. It's not exactly the most common chashash. that members of the Bezdan are going to drop dead, or the two, or the scribe is going to drop dead. It's a little. It is. It's a little. But we will not legislate to prohibit something if it's not matzah. But to be makil, we can. We can.
It makes sense. What is an example of a suffix davar avod? According to the person who says a suffix davar avod is different than a davar avod. What is an example? Like, what would it be? Because then you could notice that there's a difference.
Hey, somebody is engaging in business practices,
yeah.
And the reason why he might lose some money on it. He's not sure.
But that is pointing to is still meaning someone's differentiating suffix davar avod from davar avod. So the
davar avod means you know for a fact I'm going to lose. So if I don't engage in this sale, I definitely lose it.
If you don't irrigate the field, it's going to dry up.
Exactly.
So when that person says stuff like a davar avod, they're specifically differentiating that from
regular.
Where is davar avod different than what this is?
Correct, because davar avod is definitely mutter. Question is, if there's any doubt about it, that's all. Yeah. Then he adds at the very end, Ulafiza, third line from the bottom, in the middle of the third line from the bottom, Had the Kasav Hamagin Avram, the Safek Davar Avod Mutter, who im oso hachashash matsui shiyavo, kein nirul anias dati. It's not any outlandish Safek. It at least has to have a remote possibility or somewhat of a possibility that this type of aveda loss will actually take place. Acha kein matzasi b'harava magid perek zayin uchus yantiv din gimel b'shem haramban. Shematir gam kein b'safik davar avid. Ach tzorech la'asosam b'tzina. There's another criteria. If you're even going to allow safik davar avid, not b'fahesia. Only if it's Bitsina. But he himself adds a criteria, and again, it's hard to come up with an absolute definition. What of any of these cases make all of these cases Matsui? And what would not be allowed based on the Mishnah and the Bir Halacha, based on the fact that it's not Matsui? How do you come up with the criteria that some of these cases are those in the Mishnah are Matsui? But if we can fabricate other cases which are very similar, we would say it's not matzur. Not matzur.
Isn't the Ramban the one who says that the Isser of Malacha is Doraisa?
The Ramban, yes.
So how does he say the Safik Davar Avod say that they can be...
Because again, you can always allow the Chachamim to define it. That's all. Yeah. Yeah. Continues on the next page, page 7, the Nemuki Yosef. That the Mishnah made a statement that writing shovrim are permissible. So we said shover is a receipt. A receipt. So he adds the stipulation only im avad hamalve shtarchov. If the malve lost the document. In other words, I am the lover, I'm the borrower, I'm paying off the document, and now I ask him, can I please have the what? The shtar back. And he said, I lost it. Then we're going to allow you to write a shover. The halove misyare leforo shema yitvaenu pamacheres. The lover is concerned that he's going to pay, and then 2 days later, the malve is going to produce the document again. Tiknu chachamim sheyichdev lo hamalve shover shehu shtar. That he takes, he writes a document which is a receipt. But unless the malve happened to have lost the document under those circumstances, we do not allow writing a shover. The Mishnah doesn't necessarily say that. And sometimes the malve, the lover would like a shover, a receipt. Even though he gets back the document, you never know if he loses that document and then it's, he forgot to rip it up. So, but not all Rishonim in fact, very few other Rishonim make this clause. He makes the clause that by a shover, it's only in the circumstance under the situation if the malveh lost the document. Then a second statement on page 8 of the Nmuki Yosef. What are igros rishus? Igros rishus, says the Nmuki Yosef, are very similar to what Rashi said. Pitka de Rabbanusa, documents of the rabbinate, or Shehanasi notein rishus zeh, Ladun ulalameid la'am horosehen, where Bezdin gives the right to a member of to the Nasi, to somebody, to teach the community about certain judgments that the Nasi issued. V'nikroin pitka de Rabbanusa, v'shuv imta'a lo yishalem. That phrase is bothersome. I don't know what he's talking about. V'im ein lo shtar yishalem mi beso. Not sure what he's talking about payment, when he's talking about igros rishus. Igros rishus is just piskei hora'ah of the bezdin. So who's getting, who's making a mistake, and who's not paying, and he doesn't have a shtar, he pays. Not sure exactly what those words in the Nmuki Yosef refer to, because it's not necessarily talking about monetary decisions. Ubi Yerushalmi pirshu igrot shel she'elat shalom. Yerushalmi says, what is it talking about? Just letters that we write to one another. How are you, Pop? Things like that. Those type of documents are permissible. She'elat shalom. Yeah. Just a... What?
Why would that be permissible? Why?
Well, that's a very good question. Many Rishonim struggled with... And that, they say, the answer is... That's Tzorchei Moed. I like to engage. I want to increase my friendship with somebody. And therefore I write him a letter. I have a little time now, Chalosh HaMoed. But many, the Bavli does not make any reference to She'elat Shalom. It's only the Yerushalmi. Only the Yerushalmi. Now, just on that last thing about letters of Igros Rishus, so many quote the Mishnah in Maseches Avos to show you what Rishus means. Shmaya v'avtal yil kibla mehem. Shmaya omer ehoves hamalacha usnoes harabanus v'al titvadal rishus. Don't get too chummy with the authority, because they're doing it only, they're being nice to you because they can use you. But the minute they don't need you, what's going to happen? They're going to be tough on you. And you're going to be angry then that you started doing anything nice for them. So Rashus is the authority. Don't do anything to help them. So what exactly are these guys doing? They're helping the government. How are they helping the government? They're promulgating various rules and regulations, thinking that they're going to find favor in the eyes of the government. Find heirs of the government. Now, just a word I want to tell you about a famous Chavetz Chaim on Pruzbalim. So the Pruzbal, as everybody knows, is a Takana of Hillel. That Hillel noticed that around the fifth and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, people stop lending money, because they figured that the borrower is not going to have the capacity to pay, and then I don't want to lose my money, so I'm not going to lend money. And what happens under those circumstances, it undermines the entire ideal and objective of the Torah. The Torah believes in social equality, of evening out the haves and the have-nots. That's one of the objectives of the Torah. Sometimes, so therefore, for example, you're not allowed to charge with interest. Because if you charge with interest, that is something that like the Torah calls it. You take a bite out of somebody. Neshech ochel, neshech kol davar. That's why it's called neshech, ezel neshech. Because it bites, takes a bite out of a person economically. So, however, when the Chachamim see that the Torah's objective is being totally defeated by the reluctance of people to lend money, so they enact various takanos to keep the money flow going. So in relationship to charging interest, they created the heteriska, where you now convert every single loan. The document is written in the fashion that it no longer says the word lender and borrower, doesn't say the word interest, it says two business partners, the active partner and the silent partner. The active partner is the borrower. The silent partner is the lender. And now he gets profits from the combined business venture, and that's how we cover up the principal and the interest. All very nice, fine and dandy. You go to Republic National Bank, owned by a Sephardi. You cannot get a loan if you're Jewish unless you are willing to sign a heteriska. Doesn't want to violate the Isur Doraisa, the many Isurei Doraisa. Same thing, and of course all banks in Israel have to do this in order to engage in business. So with the other thing is the Prusbel. Rebbe saw that people were not lending money. So what they did was, he said, if you have this Prusbel, which in effect gives a license to Beis Din to collect the loan, so then Beis Din is what's called not... the loan is... Shemitah is not meshamet. It doesn't cancel the loan. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote in the Igros Chavetz Chaim, he wrote a lengthy letter saying, pleading to Am Yisrael not to rely on the Prusbel. Not to rely on it. And that we should elevate ourselves, that the one of the ways in which the Torah hopes to equal out the haves and the have-nots is by canceling any outstanding debt. And then, obviously, you've been able to survive until now without collecting the loan. The money is in the hand of the lender, of the borrower, and the lender has, Baruch Hashem, been able to survive. So you'll survive another 50 years of your life without the money. And he begged people, and he wrote this whole lengthy essay, and unfortunately fell on deaf ears. And today, most people, when they take out a loan, particularly during the Shemitah year, they make, everybody comes running to the rabbi, please, do you have a prusbel for me? And because Shemitah is meshamed at the end of the year, the last day, Erev Rosh Hashanah of the next year, and people did not necessarily listen to him, even though he pleaded for it. So from an ethical point of view, even though we might be very adherent to the letter of the law, not always are we adherent to the spirit of the law as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu legislates certain things which make no sense whatsoever. Why should a loan be canceled because of Shemitah? Why shouldn't you be able to charge interest? You're allowed to charge a fee to drive your car. It's called a car rental. So this is a money rental. That's what interest is, a money rental. And in fact, you have many more uses for money than you do for a car. Only do one thing with a car. It's the driver. Money, you can do whatever you want for it. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us not to take advantage of these halachic loopholes. But, nonetheless, people don't take advantage of these halachic loopholes. Just one line additionally in the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Mutar le'areis isha b'cholo shomoed shema yikadmenu acher. This is a very famous halacha, and it has application in many other areas of halacha. Even though you are not permitted to get married on Chol HaShemoed, for a variety of reasons, one is based on a pasuk b'samachta b'chagecha drash v'lo b'ishtecha, two, a ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Nonetheless, nobody eliminated engagement because it's a davar haved. If you don't engage, somebody else is going to chaperos. So this halacha is also found in Tosfos in Maseches Tanis that you are permitted la'areis isha afilu b'tishabav. Not only during the 3 weeks, not only during the 9 days, but on Tishabav itself, you're allowed to engage a woman. Same svara, shema yikadmenu acher. Shema yikadmenu acher. And next time we have a shir, we will deal with the issue as to whether or not the halacha of where somebody is about to take something from someone else. I know what it is. That if I'm about to buy somebody's property, somebody can't come in and say, you know, I'll buy it. I'll give you $10,000 more. You're not allowed to do that. No, it's not a service bill. It's something else. I just forgot what the word is. So the question is, does it apply by shiduchin or not? So there's a whole tshuva of Rav Moshe about it. And next time we have a share, which I don't know when it's going to be. Are you sure the Orotsky wedding is June 3rd?
I know it's Monday.
It's a Monday night.
I don't know which Monday.
I think it's the 3rd. That's 2 weeks.